אנחנו לומדים בספר זוהר
We are studying from this Zohar for All. We're in the introduction of the book of Zohar, the 11th commandment, item 244. You can ask questions at kab.tv and selected questions will be live. We are again in the introduction to the book of Zohar, the 11th commandment, item 244.
With us are the Tel Aviv, Chulon groups, and friends from Petah Tikva working in the new building. We have 17 people there today, and we're with them, the Tel Aviv and Chulon groups. Please, go ahead. Before we read the Zohar, of course, we needn't forget the conditions on which we receive the reforming light, only from the center of our connection. Please, go ahead.
The 11th commandment is to give tithing, 10% of the produce, maaser, from the land. There are two mitzvot here, to give maaser from the land and to bring the first fruits of the tree. It is written about the maaser, tithing from the land, that was permitted to Adam HaRishon, every plant yielding seed. And about the first fruit of the tree that was permitted to Adam HaRishon, it is written, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. Why do these verses obligate us to give maaser, tithing, and the first fruit, to give to the Creator and to not eat them, which is the opposite of the meaning? Eating is sorting of the holy sparks out of the klipot. Through eating, the holy sparks in the food connect to man's soul into a flesh of his flesh. And the waste in the food comes out of his body. Finally, during one's life, he collects all the holy sparks related to the completion of man's soul, without which his completeness would be deficient. It is written in the Zohar that Adam HaRishon was not permitted to eat meat. As it is written, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth. It shall be food for you, and nothing more than that, no meat. However, when he sinned and the evil inclination was absorbed in his body, Noah was told,
the intention in order to receive penetrated and connected to all the different kinds of desires from the 613 desires, that's called the evil inclination, was absorbed in his body.
Noah was told, as the green plant I have given you all, even meat. Adam HaRishon was born complete. All the needed wholeness was already created in him with respect to animals. As it is written, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. In other words, he fully attained each of the animals' names, because they were sorted out for him in full. Hence, he was not given animals for sorting through eating, as they were already sorted for him by the emanator. Only the still and the vegetative were lacking scrutiny. Hence, he was given only the yield of the land to eat and to sort, to collect the holy sparks out of them which were needed to complement him. But after the sin of the tree of knowledge, all the scrutinies were corrupted once more. And as the organs of his soul fell into the klipot, all the animals were corrupted along with him and had to be sorted out once more.
So it's clear because before the sin of the tree of knowledge, he had only Galgalten and I was in Katnut and could scrutinize only Nefesh Ruach, is the still and vegetative. And after the tree of reason, meaning that after he pulled his foreskin, which is the Achap, he had to already scrutinize the Kelim of Chokhmah, which is called the light of Chaya, the degree of Bet and Gimel and Dalet, and therefore the scrutinies are already scrutinies on the level, on the living level, that's called that he eats flesh.
This is why Noah was also given animals to eat and to sort out, as well as the generations following him. Adam HaRishon was created in the image of God, which are the Mochin in the four portions of the Tefillin, and they are his soul. However, after he was born in this holy Neshama, soul, through good deeds he was rewarded with scrutinizing and raising man, obtaining Chaya. And afterwards, on the Sabbath day, with Yechidah as well, since the upper brightness was lost only after the Shabbat. Thus he was permitted the thieving and the first fruit. Moreover, through eating and thieving and the first fruit, he was rewarded with scrutiny and raising man until he was rewarded with Chaya and Yechida. However, after the sin of the tree of knowledge, when all the scrutinies were corrupted once again, and the evil inclination was absorbed in the goof, body, the thieving and the first fruit were forbidden for us due to the evil inclination within us, for fear that we would blemish the upper holiness in them. Instead, we must give them to the priests and the Levites. When we keep those mitzvot,
meaning not all the desires are on the same level, but only part of the desires can you raise them to the level of the Levites and the Kohens, and the rest of the desires, they're incapable of undergoing the scrutinies of Maaser and Bikurim.
When we keep these mitzvot of thieving and first fruit as we were commanded, we will have the strength to raise man and to extend Mochin of Chaya on the Sabbath day, as Adam HaRishon extended through his eating of the thieving and the first fruit by himself.
Shabbat, it's because it's by the awakening from above, which is the sum total of all of the corrections of the Chagat Neim. And the illumination for all the previous corrections comes twice, and for the seventh day, so-called, meaning it's the whole, it's additional holiness, and therefore it is possible to scrutinize more. But the scrutiny is made from above. It's not that there's no work of Shabbat. There is work and being cleaved on to the Creator, and then by that, you do the work. As a sum total of all the work of the 6 days and the Creator, he carries out the correction of the Malchut. Yes.
This is the 11th commandment, to thieve the thieving of the land. Since once we have drawn the light of Neshama by wearing tefillin, we must raise man through the two mitzvot of thieving and first fruit to draw Mochin of Chaya. It follows that Adam HaRishon extended Mochin of Chaya by eating the thieving and the first fruit by himself. But we, who are not permitted to eat them due to the evil inclination in our goof, were given the mitzvah of giving them to the priests, Kohens, and the Levites instead. By that, we too were given the strength to draw those mochin. The text brings evidence that the writing speaks specifically of thieving and first fruit, because it is written, "I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth." It is also written to the sons of Levi, "Behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel." And as there it concerns the tithing, so in Adam Rishon it concerns the tithing. We also learn it from the verse, "Thus all the tithe of the land, all the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's."
What is there to say? Ah, okay.
Is there a connection between the tithing and raising man? The first fruit and the tithing. If you don't pay maaser and first fruit, can you raise man without that?
Maaser v'bikurim. Maaser and the first fruit is called the corrections on the level of Chaya. On every degree we have the complete Neranchai, even though that we're already on a level on which, yes, by our corrections, we must give maaser and bring the first fruit, meaning that we're already on such a level of the will to receive. Nonetheless, we have to perform corrections to the full depth of the will to receive, because you have no more and no less than 10. It's always a complete package, so you have to be equipped on that degree with all the corrections that precede the Mochin of Chaya. But the main thing we're talking about is the maximum level, Maasel and Bikurim, the first fruit, the Mochin of Chaya, that this is what you yearn to achieve. Yes.
We know that the Zohar speaks about our inner work.
I talked about it now as well.
Sure, but what we actually see in our lives, and more than once you said it also, is that if you don't give maaser, we cannot advance spiritually. We are stopped. So what's the connection between corporeal reality and spirituality? Where is that connection here?
In order to explain all of these things, meaning what you're saying is, why don't we have root and branch? In other words, I'll ask it in other words, why don't we have root and branch between different things that we had in the temple, but we do have root and branch with respect to the maaser?
Yes.
Why can't I give you now, bring you a sheep or a goat or some fruits? It says that Rabbi Akiva used to bring this etrog, like this citrus. It was like with the spies, really big, like the spies saw. Why can't I do that? Because there's no holiness of the land. Why is there no holiness of the land? And suddenly there's holiness with respect to the maaser. Money, yes, and other things, no. What exactly is going on here? What kind of calculations are these? We say the following. Of course there is. All of the 613 mitzvot. That here we're talking only about 13 mitzvot, that the Zohar from the 613 mitzvot narrowed it down to a smaller package. Because all of our desires, it's like organs in our body. You can say that in our body there are 613 organs, or you can say, no, it's here the brain, the kidneys, the liver, the heart, the lungs, 13 parts, or you can say besides that, there's the lymph system, blood system, nerve system, and so on. Meaning, all in all, to talk about the general systems, the big general systems. But, of course, we have to correct all the 613 parts. When we're talking about correcting the 613 parts, where do we correct that? Both then and now, the correction is only in the center of the groove. And it was back then the same, love another as thyself, and it's according to the same rule, and that back then there was built the copy of the temple, that it was, there was different external, there was different work done there externally. It's all just as a projection, as a copy of. It's because the masses needed it, having a king and all these things. But what you really need is teachers, sages, that will teach the people how to be united in their hearts, reach one heart, and to be adhered to the Creator in it. That's it. Now, that you're starting to create different external systems, you do it because the masses need it, because you have nothing to hold on to. Not everyone can be on a higher level, because the general kli, the general will to receive from within, from the central point on which the sages and the wise and the prophets and so are cleaved onto, and from there it spreads down, down to those who don't even understand what you're talking about, and they're incapable simply. The projection of the copy of the will to receive and its projection is down to the level of really the very lowest animalistic level, where they don't understand even what you're talking about, but I'm with you. And we see that today, and it will be this way till the final correction. But through the mutual incorporation, the mutual completion, everyone is integrated into it, and there's this Rav Pe'alim Mekabtziel, where everyone becomes, everyone gets this one mind and one heart, and there is someone who works with skins, and I need him too. And he needs me, and I need him. But in the meantime, no, we're not corrected that way. First of all, you have to understand that the matter of the temple and the first fruit and all of these things, they all talk about inner actions and interactions only. And if you have an external projection, then you do. There you correct nothing. You can take an elephant to the temple instead of I don't know what, even though it's not kosher, but it won't help. It's not about your animalistic, corporeal donation. But it's all the work in the heart. So that's why when you say, what can you, what can't you, and why this and not that, and why do today we have Maaser but not Bikurim, the first fruit, that's what we do. But with respect to spirituality, there's no difference. As it was, it still is. But it's all according to your level, your degree. If in the past you were shattered or you're not above the machzom or below, and correspondingly you were working, it's the same today. What's the difference? I don't really feel that I specifically belong to this time in my internality. No, the way they used to work this way in the past, and it was clear to them what the temple is and holiness and the form bestowed that comes as a result of connection between people. Now it's the same. What's the difference? Why does it stand in your way? let history be and geography and all these things. You're talking about the world Jew scene that has to take on such forms and find its adhesion with the higher force according to its equivalence of form with it, as the host with the guest. What does it have to do with time? In short, give masa.
That's what I wanted to tell you, but really, what is this masa? You know, we talk a lot about it. And, you know, last week we talked a lot about it. But we never heard about it in the Zohar. What is the masa? The tenth part corresponding to...
It's against the Malchut. Against the Malchut that you can't correct. It's like Shabbat that you can't correct. But there has to be the upper light that'll come and close down the package of corrections, because during the 7 days you're doing your work, the 6 days, and on the seventh day comes the light and completes the work. It seals it. What is your weekday? What is the work during the weekdays without the Shabbat? It's worthless. You don't complete the work. The corrections are done by the awakening from above. That's on the seventh day. That's why it's holy. What's holy about this day? That holiness comes, the higher force, which inverts all of your previous efforts that you did during the so-called 6 days of work. It's not 6 days. It could be 6 minutes. It could be an hour and a half. And you went through the six work days, and you've passed these degrees, and now as a result, you have to reach adhesion, because you have achieved the basis, the foundation, and now it's connection with the Malchut. You have to start preparing these things. This is before the Shabbat. The fifth hour of the sixth day, and what we learn. That's it. And on Shabbat Eve, what does that mean? What does it mean to sanctify the Shabbat, that you do it from above, from below? You create a connection between the six work days and the Shabbat is the Malchut. Meaning only the Creator with respect to the awakening from above and the ascent that you have caused now by your own efforts. You've given it the ability to ascend. And it rises and takes on a correction during the ascent. And later on, you have the next week. And it's something completely spiritual. There's no weekday in our world. There's no 7 days of the week. You have simply the earth turning on its axis with respect to the moon, with respect to the sun, and the moon, it's something yearly. But there's no such thing as a week. It's really your inner part, the inner work that you're doing among all of these cycles with all the conditions that you have.
So the question that comes up, you also have to pay Marcel? Kabbalists, until the end of correction, I have to pay Marcel?
I pay Marcel.
So Kabbalists have to do it?
But I don't pay it to this group.
Maybe you'll tell us where you pay? Can you tell us where you are paying?
In Canada and the Toronto group.
Ah, nice. So Kabbalists also have to pay until the end of the correction, until the correction of the stony heart? Until the correction of the stony heart?
Until the correction of the stony heart. Right? For sure, until you perform the corrections, and each and every correction, you have to not touch the tenth part, because otherwise you'll cause shattering. My son, he's selling books. From the books, there's also an income. So from that income, he pays to the Toronto group. It goes automatically. I don't even think about it, if you want to really know. And it's for years that way. All these things, they're symbolic. Yes, Moshe.
You said earlier that there is no correction in externality.
By the way, now there's an exhibition in Frankfurt. It's the biggest book fair in the world once a year. And there are plenty of our groups there, and they're all the biggest publishers, and we have this. We always have a book stand there, and we're already considered to be a pretty serious publisher. Suppose when we were in several places in the world, they used to invite us. Who was with us when we were with this publisher in Spain? He invited us for this dinner. Chaim, you were with us in Spain with the publisher? That he set a table, he invited us to his house. Because we're considered to be a big publisher. Especially that these are our own books. This is our speciality. So we have a big place there. In Frankfurt. And it's constant, international. We're already there for years and years. So, specifically now we have this exhibition, and I want to take this opportunity to thank all of our friends from Europe that took the time to help out, to show the books, present the books. There especially, you sign all the contracts with the different countries and languages. I think that a day before yesterday, I had it on my blog, how many books we published in different languages and different countries. Sum total. This is how we make a sum total from exhibition to exhibition. These are big things, and these are places. It could be in Africa, in Taiwan, and different other places. Okay, so sorry, what?
You said earlier that in fact there is no correction in externality, the correction is all in the internality, so.
Yeah, but there are people that can advance her without the externality, and it influences a person. We see how it influences us. Let me throw you in the middle of Manhattan and I'll let you live there and see how many foreign thoughts you'll get there. And let's see if you'll even keep the form that you have now. It influences us. The world is round. Everyone is integrated in it. The externality is a part of the internality. We can't discern it. What? I can influence a person's internality by external things that I present them with. How are we inspired in our senses by the external world?
You also said about the things in a temple that we don't have such corrections in externality.
It's called that Tovel v'sheretz b'yado, which means that once a year I come to the temple and I take the biggest, best goat, and I bring fruits and things, and I really say, take it, and thank God, I gave them everything. Now I'm calm. It doesn't matter what I did during the year. I buy the Maftir Yonah for $1 million for the Day of Atonement, and the next year I'll steal another million.
That's exactly what I want to ask about now. So, as they say in the common people, that you come, you give some charity, and it's guaranteed that...
You're promised everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, he puts on the tefillin, he's guaranteed to have made a correction of the tefillin. If you pay the maaser, you know...
Furthermore, he buys himself a place in the cemetery next to the righteous, even, in Sfat, that they now made this big, nice... tomb for $180,000. You could have given it to the poor instead.
So what I'm not asking, well, I want to scrutinize what exactly in this society, what do we focus on? Why do we focus on the Maaseh? That there we have to do it as an external action, even though I'm not correcting anything externally. And on other corrections...
Wait a second. When you pay Maaseh, suppose that you pay it in our group, you can come and ask, where does the Maaseh go? We have a list. What money did we get? Where from? And where is it going? In what way? We are we keep track, of course, of everything, and
it's not about keeping track of where the money goes, rather why specifically at this point we actually do it also externally and other things that, you know, we don't. So a person is not a member, well, a friend who's not okay with a maaseh is not okay in the society.
No, we can say that it's not that way. I don't mind that he pays or doesn't pay Maaseh. Maaseh, it's a psychological thing, first and foremost. It's psychological. Because a person that can give 10% of himself, even if it won't be 10, 5%. But when you have to give it out for things that do not come back to you tangibly, it's a psychological problem. It's a spiritual problem. Were you to say, let's turn it into some kind of a, let's, you know, buy, let's have a feast, a picnic. Great, I understand where does it go and so on, but that I give it for something that I don't understand, even if it's dissemination. I feel that, okay, so there are people who donate plenty to different such things in the world, millions and billions. But what happens? Here it goes to spirituality, and that's why it's so hard. It's an inner spiritual crisis that I have to give it, and it's a very big problem. I really respect the people who can do it. It's not simple. Until you're integrated into the center of the group, you have contact with the center of the group, a higher force where then you feel that you're drawn, you want to pay it, you're appealed to it. Keep on, sorry.
Meaning about the Maaseh, there's a great bonus to those who pay it. It can be some measurement to how much he's connected to the center of the group. And I also wanted to add about the corrections of the temple. We have this, by the study, we also do those things.
That's correct. That all the corrections that we are able to carry out, both back then and even now, are spiritual corrections. But once they were able to perform corrections with the intention of Lishma, in order to bestow, and nowadays we can only perform these actions as a lip service. So it is also considered that, you know, when we speak, we're performing corrections that used to be corrections in the temple, in the force of sanctity, in our vessel, which was the home for the light, for holiness. Nowadays, it's just speaking, but it's not just. It is a degree, which is called Lo Lishma. It's the matter of being in the exile. If we reach the redemption, we'll rise to, well, what is redemption? We'll discover the holy Kli called the temple, and in it we will perform corrections, and so it won't be just lip service anymore. Well, maybe we will touch. Where are you now?
We're done with the 11th commandment. Okay, moving on to the next part of the lesson.